I was handed one particular announcement I've been asked to make before we actually get into the study of our lesson. And this is, I guess it's Florissa, I think that's right, Florissa Rogers, said passed away this past Friday. Her visitation is today from 1 to 2:45, and then the funeral is this afternoon at 3 at Limestone Chapel. So that's Florissa Rogers' funeral arrangements. I want to start a series today. I don't know if it'll be very long. It may not be very long, on what I call ascertaining authority. I couldn't help but think when Brother Ken Butterworth was up here leading his prayer, he's talking about help us to keep the church pure for the next generation. Did you hear him say that in the prayer? Help us keep the church pure for the next generation. Well, how do you maintain that? In fundamental things, as it has to do with God and godliness, there has to be a proper understanding of what it is that makes truth truth. And it's difficult in one lesson to deal with a lot of the details that need to be properly understood as you look at any Bible authority subject. So these lessons are not talking about any one particular topic of specific nature as it relates to authority, as though we'll cover as some for illustrative purposes. But how do you know what is the will of the Father and what is the will of man but not the will of the Father? If you were here last Sunday, I remember I preached on Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, who will? He that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So if I have to do the will of the Father to go to heaven, and I do, Jesus said that, Matthew 7:21, how do I know the will of the Father? Because I can't do what I don't know. No one can do what they don't know. So when you look at matters of authority, authority is a very, very important principle. People that don't have any respect for authority generally create major, major problems, don't they? Just disrespect for authority in general. Law enforcement, teachers, parents, you name it. Name this position of authority. In Matthew 21, and I'll start with this verse, Matthew 21, verse 23, the scribes and the Pharisees came to Jesus in Jerusalem. Now, this is the last week before Jesus crucified toward the middle of that week. He's already preached for 3.5 years. He's performed multitudes of miracles. It's not that they don't know something about him. They all know something about him. His reputation is spread everywhere. And so, Jesus, by the way, had already cleansed the temple. And then they, evidently the next day or somewhere soon after that, by what authority do you do these things? That's question number one. Second question is, who gave you this authority? I remember years ago, the boys, that would be Benjamin and Daniel, back in the back bedroom of the house. And they were creating a ruckus. I didn't know what it was, and I didn't want to go back there. And Hannah was nearby. So I told Hannah, I said, go back there and tell them I said stop. So Hannah goes to the back. She's all four, by the way, doing this. She goes in the back there, and she said, Daddy said stop. And I remember hearing somebody's voice says, who said, Daddy said? Well, Hannah, as the great messenger she is, runs back to me, and she said, I told them what you said, and they didn't quit. So I get up, finally have to get up. You've seen this picture before at your house, probably if you've got kids or grandkids. I go to the back of the house, go in that room. They're still at it. I said, didn't y'all hear what Hannah said? He said, hear what? I said, I sent her back here to tell you guys to quit. Oh, we didn't think you sent her back here. We thought she was just back here doing what she is doing. I said, now you've made me get up to come back here to deal with it. Quit. Yes, sir. I delegated authority to Hannah to go do so I didn't have to go in that back bedroom. And by the way, when I got in that back bedroom, the hammer dropped. But what I told her to tell them was as though I was telling them. You understand that illustration, right? Who gave you this authority? Hannah would say, Daddy did. By what authority do you do this? Daddy told me to tell you. It's not me telling you. Daddy told me to tell you. Don't make Daddy get up and come do this. Jesus then turns on these people and basically says, the baptism of John, is it from heaven or of men? They are terrified to say it's of men because the people revere John as a prophet. They say, if we say it's of God, he'll ask, then why did you not believe him? If we say it's of men, we fear the people, for they all revere him as a prophet. So they said, we can't tell. Now, that's a cop-out, isn't it? Either it is of God or it is of men. Either what we're doing here today is of God, or we've just made this up, and we keep propagating what man's made up. A lot of people do on the first day of the week. What if you ask them, show me in the Bible where your authority for that is? They couldn't show you in the Bible where the authority for that is. They would say things like, well, this is the way we always done it. Or, this is the way mom and daddy said their mom and daddy and their mom and daddy have always done it. Or how about this one? This is the way we do it. Now, you may do it differently, but this is how we do it. And on and on and on the statements go. And you could probably add to that list. In John 12:48, Jesus makes this astonishing statement. He that rejecteth me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The word I have spoken, the same, will judge him in the last day. That is one of the most important verses in the Bible. You need to memorize that verse. Anytime you ever get into discussion with someone about why you do what you do or believe what you believe versus the opposite of what this person you're dealing with believes or practices, that is a verse you need to point out. Not because you're trying to score points in an argument, has nothing to do with that. It has to do with understanding what we're all needing to know to prepare for the day of judgment. The word Jesus said, that is the standard by which I'll be judged. When he said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, folks, he meant that. He meant every word of that. And he also meant, he that does the will of my Father, that's the one that will enter into the kingdom of heaven. He meant that. He meant what he said. So I need to know, how do I really truly see the Bible, and how can I recognize authority? So, let me give you some general passages. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said to the apostles, he's about to ascend on high now, all power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Though that would make sense from John 12:48, wouldn't it? The word I've spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. If the Father in heaven gave all power or authority unto Christ in heaven and on earth, then I better be listening to the person that's got authority from heaven and on earth. In Colossians 3:17, when Paul gives a list of things that has to do with the spiritual life of a child of God, he finalizes that with this statement, and whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by, literally through him. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, what does in the name of the Lord Jesus mean? You know Acts 2:38, right? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean, in the name of the Lord Jesus? Peter's not saying, all right, I'm an apostle, and the other 11 gentlemen here are apostles, and it's based on our authority as apostles. Well, they do have authority as apostles. But what Peter is telling them is, based upon the fact that you've now learned God made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, Acts 2:36. Now, in the name of the Lord and Christ, repent and be baptized. There's the authority for repent and be baptized. not because it came out of the mouth of Peter, not because it would come out of the mouth of Andrew or James or John or Philip or Thomas or on down the list, because we are simply giving you the word of the Lord. See, I don't have to have in the New Testament the words of Jesus in red letters. By the way, the red letter edition, that is the words of Jesus, isn't it? Even the black letters in the New Testament are the words of Jesus. This is his last will and testament. All of it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, all the way to Revelation. This is, number one, the authority by which I live. I study Romans and I study the book of Hebrews, and I find several passages that show me law of Moses had its purpose, but now, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear him. By the way, when the Lord said that, or when the Father said that about the Lord, that was on what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. Who was up there on the Mount of Transfiguration when God the Father said that? Two gentlemen had been dead many, many years ago. One of them's Elijah, right? Who's the other guy? That's Moses, right? If you lived under the law of Moses, who are you supposed to be listening to? You're supposed to be listening to what Moses said. Actually, what Moses wrote as he was saying it. No, you don't listen to Moses now. Hear you him. This is my son. Moses was my servant, Hebrews 3 says. This is my son. You hear him. So number one lesson to be learned in this point of this sermon is, I don't have any authority, and you don't have any authority. Right here is our authority. Will we agree on that? Come on, shake or not. We agree on it. This is what we must have to know the will of the Father. This settles all arguments, all disagreements. And if a person doesn't want to let this be the standard, there's not anything I can do or say to anybody. If this isn't the final authority, then let's just shut our Bibles and let's just talk what you think versus what I think. By the way, it's not going to get us anywhere in the Day of Judgment. Matter of fact, it's not even going to get us anywhere here. And then before the Bible closes, I put this verse, Revelation 22, 18, 19. Hopefully you're very familiar with that, but it has to do with a great warning as to how you treat the Bible. If any man adds to the words of the book of this prophecy, him I'll add to them the plagues that are written in this book. If any man take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, him I'll take away out of the Lamb's book of life. That's serious business right there. That's heaven, folks. That is a parallel passage to knowing the will of the Father. I am not to take out of here things I don't like. Well, I like that verse, but I don't like that one. I like John 3:16. I don't like John 3:5. So I'm going to take John 3:16, that is the words of Christ, and I don't want John 3:5. Well, you can't do that. You can't take away. You got to have all of it. You got to have it all in its context and what the Lord says. Well, I like the Bible, but there's some things the Bible doesn't talk about that I believe that we could use and make more effective in our worship or in our work or in our Christian living. We don't add to the Bible. We don't add man's doctrine to the Bible. We're not having creeds and bylaws and constitutions and conventions. We're not having man to come up with what is the will of God. God's already told us what his will is. It's in the New Testament. By the way, that's why in churches of Christ, particularly in the Restoration Movement, one of the great things that these preachers, when they first started preaching, was this. If you want to be in the kingdom of heaven, there isn't but one body of material to believe. It's not the Apostles' Creed. It's not the Westminster Confession of Faith. And on and on and on they listed. Get rid of everything that's a man-made written document and follow only the Bible. If this is the will of God, you don't take away from it. If this is the will of God, you don't add to it. And if this is the will of God, you don't need something like it. Get rid of everything and just follow this. That's the only way you're going to know what authority is. I don't know about you, but it's astonishing to me to watch from year to year, and particularly as the news media brings this out, and I'm not sure the news media does it accurately or even, you know, halfway accurate. There are religious groups that have certain summit meetings or conventions or whatever, and it's basically to talk about certain hot button topics as to where now that particular religious group is going to stand on that issue. And you probably don't follow that, but preachers generally do. Things like women's role. Do you know that's a hot button topic right now? Matter of fact, it has been since the 1950s, 60s, really got real heavy in the 70s, women's role. Recently, in the Anglican Church, this is historical now, recently in the Anglican Church, I think it was in the month of January, this year, actually, 2015, has now been ordained the first female bishop. Bishop now in the Anglican Church in England. There's a large group now of the Anglican Church that's up in arms about having ordained her as a bishop in the Anglican Church. They fought against that. By the way, do you know what their argument was? Fighting against her being a bishop in the Anglican Church? You know what their argument was? Listen to this. The Bible doesn't give any authority for that. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, I suffer not a woman to teach nor to have authority over the man. 1 Timothy 2. What? You mean you're using the Bible to argue that a female cannot be a bishop in the Anglican Church? By the way, she was already a rector, which, by the way, we would call her a preacher. She's already a preacher in an Anglican church building in England. She just wanted a higher position. And she petitioned for it. And she got her forces together. And they had votes on it. And for many, many years, they voted her down. Well, by the way, they finally gave in, voted, got enough votes. They ordained her last month. Yeah, it made the news, guys. It also made the news among Churches of Christ that there was a girl up at the 4th Avenue Church of Christ in Franklin, Tennessee. Made a video of it. That she now is, for them, their associate minister. She is an intern from David Lipscomb University. She actually got up, there's a video of it, got up and preached one Sunday to the whole congregation, like what I'm doing right here. Closed her sermon with a prayer that she led from the pulpit to that audience. There were brethren in our brotherhood who started writing material and sending letters and informing their people, congregations, this is what's happening. Look, this is what's happening. And it is happening. Right now, it's on a small scale. At least publicly, it's on a small scale. Who knows what's going on behind doors that nobody knows. But right now, folks, let me tell you something. Women's role is a hot-button issue. The argument goes like this. If God gave her the talent to know her Bible, and God gave her the talent to articulate the words of the Bible publicly, it would be wrong for her not to use her talent. Yes, it would be wrong for a person not to use their talent. But she can use her talent in a way that doesn't violate 1 Timothy 2, 8 through 15. She can do that. There are a lot of women that speak at women's days. There are a lot of women that need to teach younger women. There are a lot of women that need to privately talk to anybody that's not a Christian about their soul. You can use your talent. The Bible authorizes males to do the leading in the public assembly. The Bible authorizes that. As a matter of fact, it explicitly forbids, listen, explicitly forbids females to lead in the public assembly. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, and down through that, 34 in particular, 1 Timothy 2. You see this women's role issue that's going on out in the religious world? These people that are opposing these females taking these leadership positions that have predominantly been male-dominated, the arguments that are being made against women having those positions, the Bible doesn't say you can do it. To you and me, that's not a novel idea, is it? There ain't anything unique about that. We've been saying, do that for every subject. Do it for all of them. Do it for what must I do to be saved? Do it for what is authorized worship. Do it for the work of the church. Do it for leadership in the church. Who are the leaders, by the way? The fact that she's a bishop, and I read 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1, one of the qualifications to be a bishop, which by the way is an elder in the church, is what? The husband of one wife. Well, how in the world do you get around that? She's not even male. Much less, can she have a wife? Well, what does our society think about her having a wife? Would it be anybody in our society say, hey, she wants a wife? Let's get her a wife. Nobody thinks like that. You hadn't looked at the society we're living in right now. Where's the authority for it? All power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, you do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you don't add to it, and you don't take from it. And there is an attitude that goes with those three verses I've got up here on this wall. Now, whether I like that or not is totally beside the point, guys. That is authority. That's not my word. That's not your word. That's not anybody's word. That is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. We don't alter people's wills, do we, once they go into power? So, how does one know? Let's very quickly now go through some of this. Very simply, the Bible teaches, and actually, you find this in common everyday life. You find it on the job. You find it at home. You find it in your neighborhood. You find it in local, federal, and state government. You find it all over the map. Direct command. If someone gives you a direct command, that's what you're to do. If a person who's in authority tells someone who's not in authority, but they're working for the person in authority, here's what you do, you don't question that, you do it. By the way, get you a job where you've got a superior above you, and that superior asks you to do something and say, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do what I want to do. How long do you think you're going to be on that job? Fine, go do what you want to do, not here. Dwayne Bailey's down here. How's that work in the military, Dwayne? Commanding officer tells you to do something and says, I don't think that's what I want to do. I think I'll do it my way. How far is it? How's that handling boot camp? How's that operating in the military? Man, we don't want anybody to be upset. We want everybody to be happy. We want everybody to do what they want to do. We need morale in the Army, don't we? It's tough enough fighting wars and just going through boot camp. Let's just everybody do whatever they want to do. I read in the Bible in the book of Judges a time when there was no king in Israel and every man did what was right in his own eyes. How'd that turn out in the days of the judges? That was awful. You read the 21 chapters of the book of Judges, you find out how awful that really was. When every man did what he wanted to do and no respect for authority whatsoever. Then you find examples in the New Testament that show you people that are obeying these commands. And those examples help us to see how to operate in these direct commands. And sometimes, number three, you'll have what's called direct or necessary inference. Necessary inference doesn't mean just an inference. It means an inference that necessarily is demanded by the meaning of the passage. And we'll get to that one in a future lesson. But let's move on to it. Okay, commands. The Bible teaches, and everyday life teaches this too, by the way. The Bible teaches that there are, in essence, two kinds of commands. one specific command. In other words, all the details are in the command. You don't even have to think about it. You just have to do it. Okay? For example, I'll give you a secular illustration. You go to your doctor. Your doctor diagnoses what your problem is. Doctor writes a prescription for you. You take the prescription to the pharmacist. The pharmacist fills the prescription to the details of what the doctor wrote on the prescription. On the bottle or the box or whatever, it tells us in English, because they, by the way, they abbreviated this in the Latin form. By the way, we got pharmacists here in this congregation. They know what I'm talking about. They have to do this all the time. It says 3 times a day or 2 times a day or 1 a day or whatever. I don't know the Latin formula for it, but they know it. Okay? When you see those instructions, all you do is what? Read them, understand them, and do it. If you don't get better, what does the doctor generally tell you? Come back in X amount of time. If you're not feeling any better, we'll check you out again. Right? That's how it operates. That's how doctors practice medicine or do the trade. What if I look at that and I say, I don't want to do that. By the way, there are people that do that. I don't want to do that. And they don't get any better. Matter of fact, they get worse. Go back to the doctor. The doctor says, did you take the medicine? I didn't want to take the medicine, so I didn't take any of it. What? I prescribed this medicine for you. You need to take this medicine. You don't take this medicine, you're going to end up in the hospital. They're going to make you take this medicine. I don't like that either. You're going to die. That's your alternative. You're going to die. We got a great physician called Jesus Christ, right? He's called, physician, heal thyself. He used that in a metaphor, referring to himself, as it were, that you will tell him to be physician, heal thyself. The physician tells us who have a spiritual problem, here's how you handle sin. Take the prescription and be made whole. Naaman the Syrian in 2 Kings chapter 5 was told to go dip in the Jordan 7 times. Is that specific? He didn't say just any body of water. He said Jordan River. He didn't say 1 time, 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, 8 times, 9 times. He said 7. Naaman didn't want to do that, did he? As a matter of fact, he got mad when he heard that. He thought this is the way it was going to operate. His servants turned to Naaman in 2 Kings 5 and said, if he had bid you do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much better do what he says and be made whole? Just do what he says. Goes down to the Jordan River, dips 1, dips 2, dips 3, dips 4, dips 5, dips 6. By the way, if it had been me, every time I come up, I'd be looking at my skin. Is it going away? By the way, 6 times, he's still as much a leper as he was before he started dipping the first time. Isn't that right? Because, by the way, you can't get to 7 until you get through 6, right? And when he dipped the 7th time, when he come up, he's completely cured. What if he'd stopped at 6? What if he'd stopped at 6? He'd have died a leper, wouldn't he? Oh, no, God's loving. God's gracious. God's merciful. That's true. But you want the love and the grace and the mercy of God? You dip 7 times. When you want to be made whole, you don't question the great physician. You do it. That's respect for authority. You do it. When Naaman was made whole, Naaman was made whole more than his physical body. Naaman got a wake-up call of the soul. And he started serving God, the true God, from that day forward. That's what a person who's been saved from his sins does. He ain't never the same. respect for specifics. Sometimes God doesn't give all specifics. Sometimes He gives general or generic, we often call them, commands. Things that don't have all the details in it. But He still expects us to obey them. And we'll get into some illustrations like that. By the way, we have all kinds of illustrations like that today. I'm driving down the road, blue lights in the rearview mirror. What does that mean, guys? Messed up. By the way, I've had this happen before. And I'm probably not the only one in this room that's happened before. What does that mean? That means you pull over right then. I was coming back from Ironton last night, got around Rainbow City. Guy turned in front of me, had the green light, police officers behind him. The lights was right there in my face. Immediately turned them on. I thought, you dead, bud. I don't know what you did. Right up here, he pulls over. And I go right on by. I says, better you than me is all I thought. It was late, about 10:15 when I come through Rainbow City last night. What'd he do? Police officer gets out of the automobile, walks up. What's he going to ask you? By the way, guys, if you've never had this experience, here's what he's going to ask you. Can I see your license and vehicle registration? By the way, I've had that more than one time in my life. What if I pull out my credit card and hand it to him? By the way, it's got my name on it. It is mine. Matter of fact, he could use it, put my PIN in, take money out of that account. I didn't say, give me your credit card. I said, license, vehicle registration. I said, yeah, but, well, you didn't say not to give you a credit card. You didn't say not to. You ever had anybody argue with it that way? Well, the Bible doesn't say not to do it. Bible says to sing when it comes to the music of the Lord's church. Bible doesn't say not to use instrumental music. Bible don't have to. God told me what music He wanted in the assembly. He don't have to say, now, not this, not this, not this, not this, not this, not this. If I keep playing with that police officer like I'm toying with this illustration, where do you think that police officer is going to have me? By the way, he is the authority beside my car right then, isn't he? He's the authority right then. I'm not in control. He's in control of this situation. I'm to submit to his authority. Or he will force me to submit to his authority. And that's the last thing I want. General command. What if he walked up and says, give me some means of identification? Now, he has allowed me to give him anything that I deem fit to identify who I am. I could give him my driver's license. I could give him my blood donor card. Anything that's got anything about me on it, I could hand that to him. I can say, here's my Bible. It's in my car. It's got my name on the inside of it. This is mine. This is my name. But then they ask you specific. But if you ask in a general way, you are free now to give whatever expedites. That's why we call it an expedient. Expedites that command. The Bible is filled with those illustrations. Everyday life is filled with those illustrations. Specific. Acts 9:6. Saul of Tarsus is on the road to Damascus. He sees the light and he hears the voice and he sees the Lord. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? Jesus Christ, whom thou persecutest. Hard for you to kick against the pricks. Verse 6. Lord, what wilt thou have? Verse 5. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Specific. Arise, go into the city, and there it will be told you what you must do. That's authority, isn't it? What did he do? By the way, he's blind. What does he do? He gets up, has to have somebody lead him into the city, and he has to wait 3 days, the text says, before Ananias ever showed up. Some people believe that he was saved on the road. He wasn't saved on the road. He hadn't even been told yet what to do to be saved. He was just told to get up so he could go be told what he must do. But that's specific, right? What he says, oh, I trust God. I believe he can save me out here on this road. I'm just going to sit out here on the road. imagine Saul of Tarsus, blind, sitting out on the road to Damascus. The Lord can save me any way He wants to. I believe He'll do it this way. I'm not going to get up, and I'm not going in that city. Good advice, right? Smart man, right? That's the most foolish thing you'll ever find. When the Lord asks you to do something, that's what you do. Acts 17:30. The time of this ignorance God winked at now commands all men everywhere to repent. Commands all men everywhere to repent. By the way, that means anywhere and everywhere at every time now, idolatry is to be forbidden. Because it's idolatry He's addressing there. Like Athens, Greece, it's too superstitious, all these gods you've got, there's only one God, and I've taught you the one God. Every man, everywhere, repent. Turn from that to the true God. John 4:24, God is a spirit. They that worship Him must, not can, if it suits you, no, must worship in spirit and in truth. By the way, must means must, doesn't it? You're filling out a job application. It says, these are the fields you must fill out. I was filling out an application online the other day, not a job application, by the way. It was just something that had to do with a thing I was purchasing. And it had these little blocks, and it had little red stars by them, or asterisks. It says, fields required now in order to process this. And then it had down some in black, it didn't have a red asterisk, and it said optional. How many of us don't understand what those mean? What if I filled out the options and didn't fill in any of the ones that had the red stars on them? Submit. Here's what it said. By the way, I did that, not the option, and you know, just to see what it would do. I didn't fill out one particular thing, and all of a sudden the screen came up and it says, oops. That's what it said. Oops. Didn't want to offend you, right? Politically correct. Oops. You missed one. Or this is a field that you did not fill out. So I typed it in there, and it said, oops. In other words, I didn't even do it right. By the way, computers are case sensitive if y'all don't figure that out. If it's got to be capitalized, it's got to be capitalized. If it's not, it'll say non-case sensitive. By the way, that's specific details too, right? Illustration of specifics. Do it exactly like the instructions tell you to do. Otherwise, none of this is going to be processed. You're going to get frustrated. I was doing it with a online banking. I was going to check the balance on one of our accounts. And I don't know if it's just me. Maybe it's not just me. You got these questions, security questions. I can't even remember all the answers to all the security questions of everything I've got online. And it'll throw something up, and I'm like, well, I can't remember what I submitted to be the answer to this stupid security question. So I typed in what I thought it was, and it says, incorrect, invalid, try again. Typing in what I think, incorrect, invalid. All of a sudden, you miss that three times, and it says, no longer can get into your account. If you need to get in, call 1-800 such and such or these times. And I'm like, I need to know the balance of this stupid account. I am the account owner. I just can't figure out what you want. Well, I say, well, it's not you. You're the one that gave the information in here. You're supposed to remember all that. And by the way, it's only going to get worse, I'm told. Getting old, and a lot more stuff to have to put in by computer. See, we deal with specific and general commands all the time, don't we? All the time. Everyday life is full of them. Why don't we use the Bible the exact same way we do everyday life? Here's one reason people won't do that. They don't want to do what this says. They won't do what they want to do. And if I like it, surely the Lord's going to like it. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. He that comes to God must, there's your must believe that He is. That He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's what you must do. You want to please God? Must believe that He is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. General commands. Hebrews 10:24-25. Consider one another to love and provoking to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So they had an assembly. Well, when is it? Hebrews 10:25 doesn't say when it is. Just said when you have an assembly, have an assembly. Don't forsake it. I have to have other verses in the Bible now to know when those assemblies were. By the way, that's a part of learning what's Bible authority. And so once I learn the examples of when they had their assemblies and other passages that give the command, now I find it's on the first day of the week. Disciples came together, Acts 20 and verse 7. I find their assembly. Acts 2 is the first day of the week on the day of Pentecost. Here they're breaking bread, fellowship, prayer, and so forth. So I see now the pattern, and now I know. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, that which I received of the Lord, I delivered unto you the night that Jesus was betrayed. Then he talks about the Lord's Supper. This do in remembrance of me. It's a command. This do. It's a command. Eat this bread, drink this cup. But by the way, do you have to put it in individual containers? I don't know if you've ever really thought about that. Did the Bible say that you're to have one piece of bread and everybody partake of one piece of bread and one cup by which we all drink out of it? By the way, if we're going to drink out of one cup, I won't be the first one to drink out of it. Because particularly what's going around right now. By the way, anything unscriptural about having one cup? There is not one thing unscriptural about having one cup. Because you're still drinking. The command's to drink. But do you know there's some folks even in this county that would make an issue about having individual cups? You take the Directory of Churches of Christ in the United States, in the index of it, we'll give little code letters that tells you what kind of congregation has this and doesn't have this. That is a downright shame. But that's the nature of what we've got. And it'll have big O and a little C beside it. Big O and little C means one cup. That's what that means in that Church of Christ index directory. So if you're going to a certain town and you see in that index directory, you see this listing of this congregation, address, website, whatever, and out by the side the little code is OC. When you walk in and take the Lord's Supper, there's not going to be a set of trays with individual cups. That's what you're going to see. By the way, nothing unscriptural about drinking out of that one cup. There ain't anything unscriptural about drinking out of individual cups either. The command is not the cup. The command is drink. The command is not the plates. The command is eat. The command is what you're doing. If it was one loaf and we all broke off the same loaf, if it's individual different loaves up here, it's still eat. The command is to eat. By the way, what's the scriptural time to eat it? I got into a discussion with some preachers the other day in a preacher's class. I said, what's scriptural time to have services? I said, we have it at 9:30 and 10:30. That's scriptural time on Sunday morning. One guy said, well, we have 9 o'clock worship service, 10 o'clock Bible class. I said, that's unscriptural. Of course, that was tongue-in-cheek. I was just kidding at him. By the way, I know of a congregation that does what, and by the way, they pray, it's called Church Eat Church. You ever heard of that expression? It's almost like our brotherhood's designed that one, Church Eat Church. You have services, and immediately you have a meal, and then immediately right after the meal, you have your evening service, maybe 1 o'clock. East Huntsville has that. Not necessarily eat, but 1 o'clock evening service. That's not even the evening, is it? 1 o'clock. It's all over the map. What's the point? Don't forsake the assembly. When? Whenever you have the assembly on the first day of the week. See, general command. Galatians 6:10, and we'll get to that one a little later. But all of this is salvation connected. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. In doing so, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. From a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures, able to make you wise, watch this, unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, equipped to every good word. Don't need anything but the Bible, guys. For you and me, as far as authority is concerned, don't need anything but the New Testament. We'll go further in this study, but if you're here today and you want to know Bible authority, you want to know, what must I do to be saved? If you believe not I'm He, you'll die in your sins. Jesus said, John 8, verse 24. He also said in verse 21, if where I go, you cannot come. That's specific. I tell you, nay, except you repent, shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. Our Lord said that. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. All come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him I'll confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him I will deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 10:32-34. And the like figure whereunto baptism does also now save us. 1 Peter 3:21. And now why tarriest thou? Rise, be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. And Saul of Tarsus arose and was baptized. Or if you've done that, you need to come back to your first love. Repent of thy wickedness and pray. Perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee. Acts 8:22. Those are the conditions by which to be right with God, to become a Christian or to come back to one's first love. It's respect for authority. I don't know what our society ultimately is going to become of all of this, but little by little, respect for authority is being eroded. That doesn't change authority, does it? Attitudes toward things that are true still don't change the truth. And in the day of judgment, is not everybody going to wish not only they knew authority, but they had respect for it? God will be God. God will be God. If you're here today and you're subject to heaven's invitation, He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You seek Him, are you subject? Scott leads us in the song. Won't you come as we stand and sing?